This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says he is summoning U.S. Ambassador Daniel Shapiro after the U.S. allowed a United Nations resolution condemning Israeli settlements to pass. The two have had meetings scheduled, and it is now going to happen this evening. Israel also summoned the ambassadors of 10 countries that voted for the resolution. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu made his concern clear earlier today.
Over decades, American administrations and Israeli governments have disagreed about settlements, but we agreed that the Security Council was not the place to resolve this issue. We knew that going there would make negotiations harder and drive peace further away.
I want to bring in David Keyes. He is a spokesman for the Israeli Prime Minister. David, thank you so much for joining me. Obviously, the Prime Minister and many people in your country are very upset. Tell us first and foremost about what he plans to say to the U.S. ambassador in their meeting this evening there.
Well, I'll leave that to the Prime Minister and the American ambassador. But what I can say is that Israelis collectively, and the government in particular, was deeply, deeply disappointed at this Security Council vote. You know, according to this Security Council resolution, the Western Wall, one of the holiest places to the Jewish people, a place where Jews have lived and prayed to and turned to for literally thousands of years, is deemed illegally occupied. That's ahistorical, that's immoral, and it's just plain wrong. And therefore, the government, I think very rightly, saw this resolution as actually a step not towards peace, but away from peace. It actually makes peace harder to attain. What this resolution says is that the presence of Jews living in Judea is really the barrier to peace. It's not the fact that the Palestinians refuse to recognize a Jewish state in any boundaries whatsoever. It's not the fact that the Palestinian leadership and authority is constantly indoctrinating young children with the idea that it's better to kill an Israeli than to live in peace with it. The real barrier to peace are policies like the Palestinian leadership has enacted to actually pay salaries to people who murder Israelis.
So given all of that,
shameful, and it actually pushes peace farther away.
Given all of that, why does your boss, the Prime Minister, think that the Obama administration did what it did?
Well, we have ironclad information, frankly, that the Obama administration really helped push this resolution and helped craft it from sources internationally and from sources in the Arab world. And it's really an unfortunate legacy, a kind of last-minute jab at Israel that actually distances peace. And I applaud leaders of both the Democratic and Republican parties who have come out and blasted this deeply anti-Israel resolution, this resolution that unfairly targets Israel from a body which, to say is biased, would truly be to understand.
David, let me just stop you right there. You are saying you have ironclad information, effectively, that the U.S. engaged in collusion with the Palestinians to get this resolution passed. Can you give that to the public? Can you make it public to prove what you're saying is true?
Unfortunately, I can't, not here on CNN, but I can tell you that we have full confidence the information is accurate. And it's really unfortunate because Israel's hand has been and is extended for peace. The Prime Minister has called on President Abbas literally hundreds of times to meet with him anytime, anywhere, without preconditions. And the fact that the Palestinian leadership has said no to that invitation so many times really tells you everything you need to know about why peace is stalled.
Just for the record, I had a Palestinian official on in the last hour who I asked this very question, who denied it, insisted that didn't happen. So obviously two different points of view, but you can be sure we're going to be digging down and trying to get the proof to that allegation, because it's a pretty explosive one given the history of these countries. Now, let's look forward. Actually, before we do that, I do want to ask you one question about this meeting tonight. The fact that he, the Prime Minister, is meeting with President Obama's ambassador, somebody who's not going to be there in 20-plus days, diplomatically, isn't that a waste of time, considering the fact that he's going to have a whole new administration, a whole new cast of characters to work with? Does he just want to have a chance to basically slap him on the wrist in person, in private?
I don't think it's a waste of time at all. I think it's a very important message to send that those who claim that the Western Wall is illegally occupied territory, those who allow such deeply anti-Israel and one-sided resolutions to pass, need to be told the truth. And the truth is that we're not illegally occupied.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Injury Help Desk is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention heartburn drug users. If you or a loved one has taken Nexium, Prevacid, or Prilosec to treat heartburn, acid reflux, or indigestion, and suffered serious kidney damage, chronic kidney disease, or kidney failure, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Studies from the JAMA Internal Medicine indicate a significant increased risk of acute and chronic kidney disease from taking proton pump inhibitors. If you or a loved one was diagnosed with kidney failure or chronic kidney disease after taking Nexium, Prevacid, or Prilosec to treat heartburn, acid reflux, or indigestion, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk now. You may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Call 800-225-8944. That's 800-225-8944. Again, 800-225-8944. Call now.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Everybody look what's going on.
Hey, we're back with you. Merry Christmas, America. 6 minutes after the top of the hour. It's always great to have you along with us for the ride as we're all in to get this country back on track, and the forecast looks good. A lot of things on the horizon, I think, that are quite encouraging. I like the idea that people are dreaming big dreams again. Our conversations with Bank of America and Wells Fargo tell me that, we've got a lot of small business activity, and you got to think about this. This is the backbone of this country. This is that part of the engine that has been thwarted and been held back. I maintain that we've got this pent up and frustrated level of productivity that's just been waiting to explode, and I believe that we're ready for an era of big dreams once again, and I think this is why people are so excited. The First Lady is not so excited. She says she's rather hopeless leaving the White House. As I said earlier in the show, that this is kind of the perfect bookend. Remember, she said when Barack Obama was elected the first time around that, she was never so proud of America for that moment. And now that she's leaving office, he's leaving office, and she and Mama with her, and she said, bye-bye, Felicia. Oh, man, which lit up the Internet. And that's a whole nother conversation, let me tell you. But she says that she's lost hope. Quite interesting. I want to bring Carl Gallups on right now. Carl's senior pastor of Hickory Hammock Baptist Church in Milton, Florida. He's been associated with Sheriff Joe Arpaio as a former decorated Florida law enforcement officer, associated with Sheriff Arpaio, as I mentioned, and the cold case posse investigation of President Obama's birth certificate. Carl, always good to have you with us, brother. Merry Christmas to you. How are you?
Merry Christmas to you too, Bill. And I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me and your great audience. It's good to be with you again.
We're getting a little bit of harmonics off that off your speakerphone, and I don't want people to miss what it is that you're going to be sharing with us, because all the time, whenever we have you on, it is not only provocative, but it is inspiring, and you have so much to share with us on both levels. I think, you know, first of all, spiritually, as you and I engage on quite frequently, and it's such an honor to talk with you at these levels, the spiritual consequence of what the cold case posse presented to America last week is hugely significant, and I don't want people to miss that, you know, and I know you don't either.
Yeah, no, I don't. Does this sound better?
A little bit. We're still getting some harmonics on here. Scott, can we reconnect with Pastor Carl? Because I don't want this to be a problem. All right? Yeah. It is. Well, let's see, man. Well, sometimes it's just the line or something. Let's reconnect, because I want to make sure that he's heard clearly and it's not going to drive anybody nuts in the process here, okay? You know, this is the nature, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, a big part of the show, as you know, is we bring experts on and we rely on the technology. And, you know, part of it is the phone system. And most of the time it works brilliantly. But every once in a while we get these anomalies and, you know, and I appreciate your comments, you know, that I get from you that say, oh, gosh, you know, I was having a little bit of a problem here. So we're trying to nip it in the bud as quickly as possible so that we have a clear connection, especially in this case. All right, let's try it again. Carl, are we okay?
Yeah, I can hear you perfectly before. Is this
Yeah, much better, much better.
Okay.
So let's
a connection.
Okay, we set this up in, you know, in terms of the spiritual significance of the truth being revealed about the president's birth certificate. Now, some people might say, well, how does what does that have to do with any kind of spiritual consequence? But I say it's huge, don't you?
Well, it really is. And you know what, Bill? I'll be glad to answer anything you want about that. The problem is that it could fill a book. We could talk for several hours. This investigation has been going on for 5 years, and I got connected with it through Mike Zullo and then with Sheriff Arpaio and became very close to both of them. And in fact, Sheriff Arpaio deputized me as a special deputy for the legal ramifications of how deep we were in it together. But the bottom line is, several years ago, Mike Zullo, who is a believer, and of course I'm a pastor and a Christian and believer as well, we really, from time to time, we would say, oh my gosh, this is impossible that we would find this, or that we would hook up with this person, or that this information would drop in our lap. And we kept turning corners and going through doors that just would just appear, and or through a set of strange consequences and circumstances would be delivered to us, until finally the key was given and the case was cracked, and so much deep, dark information came to us. As a matter of fact, Sheriff Arpaio hinted in the meeting the other night about the press conference about that, more information, sensitive information that we had, and Mike Zullo has said outright in interviews since then that information has been turned over to federal authorities, and people have been given immunity, witness immunity in it. So, I mean, this, what we presented the other night is huge.
Mm-hmm.
And that came as a result of a spiritual key, and I'll tell your audience what happened there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's even more, and it's already been turned over to authorities. So this is a really, really big thing with a deep political, geopolitical implications, national security ramifications, and also, I believe, spiritual implications. So to give your audience just one example, it's pretty profound, but it's just one of dozens.
Well, Carl, real quick, some are referring to this as the crime of the century. I mean, this is how big this is. But I think people are, you know, the mainstream media certainly is just, you know, they're in the shadows of this thing. This thing is happening, and they're still trying to quash this down, all in the name of birtherism and, you know, some sort of race card presentation and that sort of thing. That the, you know, let's ignore the truth and the facts. Let's just hold to some political ideology, and which just really sets us up for bigger problems down the road if we don't answer this.
Yeah, well, Bill, no, you're right. Listen, the reason the mainstream media is trying to cover it up or shut it down is because they are complicit in this.
Mm-hmm.
And they have been from the beginning. This particular case has zero to do with birtherism. Sheriff Arpaio, Mike Zullo has said that from the beginning. As far as this investigation goes, they don't care where he's born. Of course, anybody should care where the president's born, any president. But in this case, in this criminal investigation, that has never been the focus of this. They don't have any real jurisdiction in that.
Mm-hmm.
So to say it's birtherism is an out-and-out lie. To say it has anything to do with race is just race baiting. He happens to be a man of color, a black man, a biracial person, but that has zero to do with this case, as was shown when, you know, we had the whole debacle with Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio running, and Zullo spoke to that based upon the things that he found. So it has nothing to do with Republican or Democrat, has nothing to do with race, has nothing to do with birtherism. What this case focuses on is a document that was put on the White House website by the White House administration claiming to be the official identification, a copy of his official records of his origin and his
birth. Right.
So
So that goes to, of course, natural born standards. But the problem is that birth certificate has now been forensically proven by two different forensic laboratories on two different continents working with two different...
Carl, we got to go to break. We're going to pick it up from there. Carl Gallups is with us. More from Carl. Stay with us.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Hello again. My name is Gary Clark. I'm the actor who's turning 80 in August who played the part of Steve on the 1960s Western TV series, The Virginian. Now, those of you who suffered the side effects of prescribed medicines know what I'm talking about. And those of you who have watched the devastating effects that worrying about you has had on your loved ones. And what I shared a few months ago is only part of the story. I neglected to mention how One World Whey protein powder has affected my life. Now, I realize this is not dinner table conversation, but here goes anyway. One World Whey solved my irregularity. I've been plagued with constipation for years, and I thought it would be that way for the rest of my life. 3 weeks on One World Whey set me on a new path. That was 5 months ago, and I haven't been irregular since. Will it work the same way for you? I don't know. It worked for me.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Is there a stock market bubble in the making?
You need an early warning system for your investments because you work too hard to be surprised by your money. Now, guarding your wealth has never been easier. Introducing WealthGuard from OnTheMarkMoney.com, an early warning system that tracks all your accounts. WealthGuard lets you know in advance if your accounts are dropping. It works for all accounts, whether you work with us or not. Get WealthGuard today, 100% free. Go to OnTheMarkMoney.com. That's OnTheMarkMoney.com.
This is Ben Gordon, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. There's no messy strips or trays that you have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-290-8480. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-290-8480. That's 1-800-290-8480.
Honey, what is that in your CPAP mask?
Oh, that's just my mold collection.
Ew, gross! And what is that?
What, that bacteria colony right there?
Yeah, cool, huh?
Okay, CPAP users, admit it. You're not always as careful about cleaning your system as you should be. Unfortunately, a dirty mask and hose can make you sick. Respiratory infections, allergy attacks, and more. But now there's an easy way to protect yourself. SoClean.com has released the world's first and only automated CPAP cleaner and sanitizer. It kills 99.9% of CPAP germs in minutes. For a limited time, you can try it risk-free for 30 days. Just call 1-800-944-1065. SoClean is hands-free. Just pop in your mask, close the lid, and presto, your CPAP comes out clean and fresh in minutes. Don't let germs wreak havoc on your health. Call in the next 10 minutes for your risk-free trial. 1-800-944-1065. That's 1-800-944-1065.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Bill Martinez
Live.
All music for the season. Welcome back, America. 19 after the top of the hour. I'm Bill Martinez. Our conversation with Carl Gallups continues. Senior pastor of Hickory Hammock Baptist Church in Milton, Florida. He is a radio talk show host heard nationally and internationally himself. Prolific TV, radio, and print and media guest commentator. And also, make sure you get a copy of his latest book, When the Lion Roars, Understanding the Implications of Ancient Prophecies for Our Time. And I'll tell you, reading that book might bring into perspective the times in which we live in and why it is so important that we pursue the truth at whatever cost. Because we know that as the times draw nigh, deception will be the order of the day. And I believe this is why I would say, maybe even unbeknownst to themselves, the motivation of Sheriff Joe Arpaio and the lead investigator, Mike Zulu, certainly I understand Carl would feel this way, is that, you know, why there would be the pursuit of truth on this issue. Carl, let's give a summation here because of the limited time that we do have. And as we were talking off air, ladies and gentlemen, we may end up having to dedicate an entire show, 3 hours, where we have both Carl and Mike on at the same time. We'll open it up to phone calls. You can ask your questions about this, and they can lay out the case in detail, because there is so much, as Carl said earlier, there is so much to be revealed. Some things we can't talk about, but even when you consider what is being revealed to this point, you know, I said earlier, this could be the crime of the century. Carl says maybe the crime of the ages, huh?
Yes. I think the crime of the ages, when everything is finally revealed, and of course we have hopes and we're in discussions now that after the new administration comes in, this thing can be opened up completely with the proper investigations, regardless of the mainstream fake media, because they are complicit in this, and of course they're not going to cover it because it implicates them, and it's embarrassing. But let me give your audience a quick synopsis of what we have presented, what we now know. We now know that the document on the White House website that has been proffered to be the only identifying document ever brought forward publicly to the American citizens, the White House administration has claimed that it is his official identification. Obama himself has claimed it is his official identification. We now know that it is a complete fabricated forgery, and here's the deal. We have the source document from which it was created. We know the name on the source document. It is one Johanna Ani, that her birth certificate was used to create Obama's birth certificate. There may have been other source documents, but we know hers was one of them. And there are 9 points of forensically verified forgery that are unarguable, absolutely courtroom ready, that have been signed off on two national, international forensics laboratories, one in Europe, one in the United States, Forensic Document Examiner, all of them with impeccable credentials. Both of those entities train law enforcement officers in the United States and or Europe. They have issued reports declaring that that document is a fabrication using the source document from Johanna Ani. That is a crime to produce it. It's a crime to use it as identification, and it's a crime to post it on government websites. So this begs the question, Bill, why?
Yes.
Why would the administration feel it necessary to commit 3 or 4 crimes, major crimes, to try to identify who the man in the White House is? And as we said, in the course of doing this investigation, we uncovered really, really deep, nasty stuff. Sheriff Arpaio said in the meeting the other night, sensitive, highly sensitive information that has been turned over to other authorities. And as I said, Mike Zulu has said publicly, so I can say it, it has been turned over to federal authorities who are now investigating it, who have people who have been given protection and immunity and are whistleblowers. So this is going to get deeper and darker, I do believe, but what we have presented publicly is extremely deep and extremely dark because it goes straight to the White House.
What are the chances, Carl, that they're going to see this through? I mean, material in the interest of national interest and protecting, you know, supposedly
we the... That.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I thought you were finished. I was just going to say, yeah, let me answer that. It's a great question, Bill. First of all, I think that I want your audience to remember Donald Trump has been vindicated by this release from Sheriff Arpaio. Donald Trump is the one who really forced the president or Barack Obama to put that document on the White House website in April of 2011. And then when Donald Trump ran for president in this go-round, 2016, he was maligned, he was called a birther, he was trashed, he was marginalized, he was made fun of by Obama himself on the late-night comedy shows and in the news. And then eventually Trump had to come out just to keep running, to keep the media off of him, and say, look, I believe he was born in the United States. And again, let me just tell you, this investigation has nothing to do about with where he was born anyway. Mm-hmm. It has to do with that document.
Exactly.
And so Trump was able to shut that narrative down. But people need to know. Now the man that got him to put that document up there is getting ready to be the president. And we're getting ready to have a new DOJ. We're getting ready to have a new FBI. We're getting ready to have new courts, new Supreme Court, and hopefully a new attitude in Congress. So regardless of what the media does, they're complicit in this. Regardless of what they do, I believe, and I'm not saying I have any inside information on this, but I believe with all my heart that when we turn the corner into the new year, this is too big not to be looked at. Donald Trump's administration, if somebody in the federal government, including Congress, doesn't look at this, then they will be committing worse offenses and will be more complicit than Barack Obama himself.
Well, Carl, we know that in the past things have been covered up by our government. They've decided to turn a blind eye for one reason or another. I mean, here it is, how many years since the Kennedy assassination, and we still don't have the full truth on that. So is America ready for the truth on this?
Yeah. Well, the bottom line is America has already been presented the truth through this press conference, and people can go to my website, carlgallup.com. They can click on the big, bright yellow link when they get to the landing page. They can go to the repository page where there is a three-minute synopsis of everything, or there's a full one-hour conference. There's the four or 8 hours of interviews that Mike Zullo and I have done. There are press releases that have been prepared that are good press releases that are there. It's a one-page repository. They can educate themselves. They can see it all for themselves. So the bottom line is the American public is not going to be kept in the dark on this. They're not. It's been exposed. That document is a fake. Now, what the American government does about it is another story. But again, the man that's getting ready to go in the White House is the same man that has been trashed by the man that put a fake document on the White House website. So this is a complete vindication to Donald Trump. So we'll see what he and his administration does.
Carl, some people would say, look, the 44th president is already looking at the exit. Why bother with this? Just let it go into wilderness. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I'll tell you why. Because if your home was broken into 8 years ago, and then that criminal came back and continued to break in and plunder your house for eight solid years, and at the end of the 8 years, you found out who it was, and you called the police, and the police said, what difference does it make? He got away with it.
Right.
Of course it makes a difference. It always makes a difference. This makes a difference for history. We don't ever want it to happen again, and we better do something about it.
Exactly. Well, Carl Gallups has been with the senior pastor of Hickory Hammock Baptist Church in Milton, Florida. He's also currently sworn special deputy with the Maricopa County, Arizona Sheriff's Office under the appointment of Sheriff Joe Arpaio. His latest book, When the Lion Roars, Understanding the Implications of Ancient Prophecies for Our Time. Carl, thank you so much. Merry Christmas to you and Pam and the family, all right?
Same to you, Bill, and if Mike Zullo and I can come back on, we'll be glad to do it.
We'll definitely do it. Thank you.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. Small business owners nationwide rely on support from their family and friends to help them succeed. According to the Bank of America Small Business Owner Report, 83% of entrepreneurs receive emotional, operational, and/or financial support from their loved ones. For example, 38% have received funding for their business from family or friends. The support goes beyond financial gifts or loans. More than half of small business owners say they lean on family for emotional support that helps them professionally. Sharon Miller, head of small business for Bank of America, discusses the findings.
Family and friends play a critical role in the success of their loved ones' businesses. They are providing the financial, operational, and emotional support small business owners need to achieve their business goals. Entrepreneurs are grateful for the support and are optimistic about their future growth as a result.
For more, visit newsroom.bankofamerica.com.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With Our Opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
Good day, America. Are you tired of your butt cheeks being frozen? Tired of cold hands or cold feet? I'm tired of the cold. Well, there's a new kid on the block. It's Fortress Clothing. Fortress will keep you warm. Fortress does what no other clothing company has ever done. We keep you warm in the cold, even when wet. You heard that right, even when wet. No BS, no gimmicks. Work, play, sweat in the cold, and stay warm. So quit your complaining and go to FortressClothing.com. FortressClothing.com, enter coupon code AMERICA and get 20% off any item. Mittens, jackets, pants, balaclavas, or hot socks. FortressClothing.com, enter coupon code AMERICA. You're going to love being warm all winter long. FortressClothing.com.
Yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. Next year, all our troubles will be out of sight.
Bill Martinez live.
The lights on my tree, I wish you could see. I wish it every day. The logs on the fire fill me with desire to see you and to say that I wish you Merry Christmas.
I get carried away with a little bit of the mood music here. You know, my favorite time of year, and time to enjoy the great holiday music. You know, we get music from Karen Carpenter and, of course, the crooner himself. Oh, my goodness. It's just such great music. I love this time of year. Jennifer Breeden is with us right now, lest I digress too far. Legal analyst, human rights attorney, concentrating on religious extremist ideology, domestic and international law with the Clarion Project. Jennifer, Merry Christmas to you. Nice that it seems that we can say Merry Christmas a little bit freely this time. You know, wow. Maybe the war on Christmas has kind of run its course. I could only hope.
I would certainly hope so as well, Bill. And Merry Christmas to you and all your listeners as well.
Well, let's talk about the latest on the Berlin attack. Uncharacteristic of past attacks, Germany was quicker to come out and say this was a terrorist attack. We know that 12 people died last night, and they were the target of this terrorist attack at the Berlin Christmas market. What else do you have to add?
Yes, and I think, you know, you said that right, that this is the first time that, you know, Merkel has come out pretty quickly. But I think that's also because the opposition parties, you know, this is an election year coming up, and the opposition parties are saying, look, this is a horrible decision. The entire world, it's an embarrassment, really, because we've had so many terrorist attacks here. And yet, again, here's another one. And Merkel has destabilized this country based on her policies. And so I think she's trying to reel that in and gain support back because a lot of the opposition parties have come out. But, you know, we know that 48 were wounded. 18 are still in critical condition. We certainly pray for them as well. We're always getting updates, but we now know that the driver, a Polish driver of the truck that ended up ramming in, this is a semi-truck. This wasn't like even the truck in Nice. Mm-hmm. This was a huge truck that was hauling steel. He was not only shot, he was also stabbed, according to German authorities, and sitting there in the truck. And so I think, you know, this is a planned attack. This is something that whoever this person was, clearly adhering to ISIS ideology, planned this attack, knew this was a steel truck, and said this is going to be the best truck to ram into this parade to really target Christmas and a Christian, you know, festival and tradition, exactly. You know, furthering that genocidal ideology.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think what you touched on here, Jennifer, is the things that I'd heard early, that this truck was hijacked, that it wasn't, you know, that there was somebody else in the cab that took over the cab and started running it into people. Is that your understanding as well?
Yes, it was hijacked. The driver was shot. He was shot and stabbed. He was killed. And, in fact, the GPS unit on the truck actually shows that after the driver lost contact, the truck would go backwards and forwards, almost as if somebody was learning how to drive it and was trying to figure out how to drive it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and first of all, you know, we look at, here it is, they target a traditional Christmas event, and nothing better than what the jihadis would like to do, because that is consistent with the edict that went out, isn't it?
It absolutely is. Not just the edict that went out, but it's the continuing and the furtherance of the genocidal ideology, a term that was coined in the wake of Nazi Germany, and the word eliminationism, which is to completely destroy and disseminate an entire religious group, and that is Christianity, Christians. I mean, there's genocide against them by the exact same ideology in Iraq and Syria, and there's really a targeting of Christians all over the world where there's an Islamist extremist population. And so getting a Christmas parade, a Christmas festival, would just really fall within that genocidal ideology and shows the complete failure of the free world and the Western world to really prevent and protect the victims of that genocide.
And I'm glad you said that, because this is what more and more people are coming to conclude, is that this is a failure and a repeat of what happened, you know, pre and early World War II, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And that's one thing that, you know, I've been saying for so long now, and so many other legal scholars, I think, are finally starting to come on board, which is that, you know, genocide, unlike terrorism, of which there's no universal definition, and many people just use the word terrorist, which, of course, we still use, but genocide specifically not only connotes a legal obligation upon nations and governments, it also relinquishes the sovereignty of, say, Iraq or these other places where when you recognize that there's a genocide going on, you have a legal obligation internationally to prevent and protect
exactly.
the victims of that genocide.
Why aren't they stepping up, Jennifer?
I think it comes down to that sovereignty issue. So we talk a lot about the United Nations and things like that, and sovereignty is important. But what nations forget, and it's, you know, just play nice with these other nations. We don't want to go in. We're doing coalition forces and strikes. We're working with the Iraqi government, and that's great. But the law says, and this is the United Nations law, mm-hmm. was actually another law was passed in 2005, and it says that if states are failing, and if there's a failure to prevent and protect a genocidal ideology, then member nations alone, that your sovereignty is stripped. Member nations alone can go in there and prevent and protect. That means United States forces could even go in themselves and take out and snatch or prevent, protect the victims of the genocide using whatever means they can. We're not doing that because we've tried to appease, we've tried to apologize to the world, And we've continued to do this where this foreign policy sort of globalization and in trying to make nice and play nice, we're not adhering to our legal obligation. In fact, no member state of the United Nations is adhering to a legal obligation to prevent genocide.
Well, you bring up an excellent point here, Jennifer, and that is that the United Nations' lack of leadership on this is really exposed, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And really, it's sad because the United Nations has recognized their failure in past genocides. They actually did that after 10 years after Rwanda, the massacre of 800,000 people, and the United Nations did nothing. They came together in 2005, called a World Summit, and they created a resolution called the Responsibility to Protect. And that was a resolution that was geared to say, listen, we realized we failed in preventing genocide. The whole purpose of genocide was not to say, oh, we're gonna prosecute people once there's a genocide. It was to say, we're gonna prevent a genocide. That's why it's an international crime. If you have an intent to do a genocide, we have to prevent that. The responsibility to protect came in and said, okay, and now there's a responsibility. So they've recognized their failures. They've tried to address that. They've passed more resolutions, yet states are still failing to follow those. And it's actually a resolution that was passed by the United Nations to allow states, individual nations like the United States, the responsibility and the opportunity to say, listen, this is on you now. If a genocide is happening and you can't figure it out within the context of the UN, then you have a responsibility to go in and help those people.
Well, wasn't this what President Bush, you know, did, George W., he put pressure on the United Nations and really challenged them and almost put them, you know, to the point of irrelevance because they weren't standing up. You know, then it was, you know, against Saddam Hussein and what he was doing.
Absolutely.
But this was all part of it, part and parcel. And they've come to it to a degree. But if they're going to be of any consequence, then, you know, they need to know how to respond. You know, and it's like that old saying, you may not be interested in war, but war is interested in you. So they need to step up, don't they?
Absolutely, they do.
Well, Jennifer, as always, you know, we appreciate your perspective. You know, we pray for these families, you know, that have been under attack. It's the season, you know, it is a target-rich area, dare I say, for jihadis to target those of us who are celebrating Christmas. They would love nothing better. This seems to be part of their targeting and part of their process. Anything they can do to destroy the iconic memories and figures of the West, that is a big feather in their cap, and we need to keep a watchful eye, don't we?
Absolutely. We need to be praying for our brothers and sisters and Christians all over the world who are being targeted for their faith.
Jennifer Brayton, legal analyst, human rights attorney for the Clarion Project. Jennifer, thank you so much. Merry Christmas to you. It is 18 before the top of the hour right now.
This report is brought to you by Bristol-Myers Squibb. Do you know someone whose life has been touched by cancer? With over 32 million patients worldwide, the impact of cancer can be felt in nearly every family. For the second year, actor Eric Stone Street is partnering with Bristol-Myers Squibb on Ready, Raise, Rise to educate Americans about immuno-oncology, a rapidly evolving area of research that seeks to harness the body's own immune system to help fight cancer. Eric Stone Street, actor and cancer research activist.
Too many families like mine have been touched by cancer. That's why it's important for everyone to be informed about advancements in cancer research like immuno-oncology. Join me, raise, and share a flag at ReadyRaiseRise.com today. It takes just 30 seconds, and you can honor a loved one touched by cancer and help raise awareness for cancer research. For each flag raised and shared, a donation from Bristol-Myers Squibb will be made to an advocacy group that you select.
Go to ReadyRaiseRise.com to raise and share your flag today. For more, visit ReadyRaiseRise.com.
Hi, I'm Joan London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-437-5914. That's 1-800-437-5914.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-437-5914. That's 1-800-437-5914.
Call today.
Why be held hostage by your wireless carrier for 2 years? What if you had no contract, no activation fees, no hidden costs, tracking, tracing, harvesting customer data, or draconian gimmicks? All on America's largest 4G LTE, GSM, and Sprint networks. Introducing Pix Wireless. Activate your Sprint, AT&T, or unlock GSM phones with Pix and choose from an arsenal of monthly plans or build your own. Starting at only $2.99 per month. Get connected now. Call or click 1-866-205-9513 or PixWireless.com, spelled PIXWireless.com. Pick Pix and get connected today.
All right, guys, we're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's gonna get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no, we'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the runway? You know, the fun.
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait, a family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Seasons sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-848-6333. That's 800-848-6333.
Don't know what contaminants are lurking in your water? Time to get a ProPure. Take advantage of ProPure's holiday sale. Save 25% on all ProPure water filter products. Sales good through December 31st. There's a ProPure water filter for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com. Listening to Bill Martinez live.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply.
Your program, echoes your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, just the way you like it, fresh every day, Monday through Friday, 3 hours, 9 to noon, 6 to 9 Pacific on these 280-plus affiliates and markets that we share Bill Martinez live with. Thank you so much. And, of course, around the world via shortwave. Thank you for joining the ride here as we remain committed to pursue the truth no matter where it leads. W. James Annell III is with us. It's always good to have him. He is a Washington Examiner's politics editor, previously managing editor of the Daily Caller, associate editor of the American Spectator, and senior writer for the American Conservative. James, it's always good to have you with us. How are you doing, sir?
Good, thanks. Good to be here.
Well, you wrote yesterday, leading up to the vote of the Electoral College, that the opponents definitely set their sights, but they fell rather flat, didn't they?
Absolutely. And it's really the way a lot of these sort of semi-organized anti-Trump plans have gone. You know, we saw this in the primaries, and we saw it at the convention, and now we've seen it in the Electoral College. There's all this big talk about how they're going to get everybody to, first the delegates and then the electors, to change their votes. And we're going to stop Trump, and we're going to protest in the streets until everybody listens to us. And then nothing really happens. It just fizzles. Actually, there were more defectors from Hillary Clinton than there were from Donald Trump, which I guess kind of makes it a good repetition of the election itself.
Yeah, it kind of punctuates the silliness of it all, because here we are. We've got a country to get back on track, and we need all hands on deck. I mean, you've had your moments of shock and however way you want to deal with it. But look, it's time to be about the business of we the people, isn't it?
That's right. And it also shows just a fundamental misunderstanding of the system. which is a big reason Democrats lost the election. I mean, they were trying to run up the popular vote in these safely Democratic states, but that doesn't really give you any advantage in terms of winning the election under the Constitution. Mm-hmm. In our system is the Electoral College, and Hillary kind of neglected a number of the states that really had the electoral votes that she needed to beat Donald Trump. And instead, Trump paid attention to those states, and he won. So, you know, this, it's a combination of liberal entitlement, mass civic ignorance about how our government actually works, and just this refusal to accept Trump as the president, even though he clearly won under the rules of the game that are in place.
Exactly. Well, Jim, you know, a lot of things come into play here, you know, in terms of, you know, the peaceful transition of our government,
right.
You know, the veracity, the foundational issues, you know, whether it was Bernie Sanders or Trump himself questioning the veracity of the process, the rigging. Certainly, we heard from Veritas with the videos, WikiLeaks, that would suggest that, you know, our process was being threatened. I mean, even to the point that we still haven't heard, I think, solidly saying that the Russians were involved, they tried to tamper, or they didn't. You know, that still is in due process, I think. I don't, you know, we hear lots of suggestion, but I'm not hearing a definitive answer. Are you on that, particularly the Russians?
No, basically, there's been a lot of innuendo. There's been a lot of anonymous sources leaking things, but we've not really seen any clarity as to what the intelligence community actually believes. I mean, it sounds like there is something like a consensus that there was Russian involvement in some of the high-profile Democratic hacking. But what their motives were, to some extent, remains in question. I mean, there are some who think it was explicitly for the benefit of Donald Trump, but a lot of others think it was only incidentally to the benefit of Trump, because they really were messing with the person who they thought was most likely to be the next president of the United States. And like a lot of other people, they assumed that would be Hillary Clinton.
Right. Well, and my understanding and perspective here, Jim, is much as Putin had his way with the Obama administration, of which Hillary said very clearly would be an extension of that, why would the Russians want anybody but a continuation of what they've been able to take full advantage of?
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting question. I mean, there is some speculation that maybe because Trump wasn't as interested in intervening in Syria as Hillary Clinton was, that maybe that was a motivating factor for them. But I mean, I think it's very up in the air how the Trump administration is going to deal with a lot of these foreign crises. And anybody who's making assumptions based on campaign rhetoric, even in a more conventional candidate, you could be wrong. I think it's very dangerous to make assumptions about Donald Trump.
Well, getting back to the Electoral College, it worked, didn't it?
It did work. I mean, in many respects, this is a textbook example of why the Electoral College is in place. Hillary Clinton's popular vote lead is exclusively from California. You could also argue that it stems from her running up the vote in Los Angeles and New York City. Mm-hmm. So the whole purpose of the Electoral College was to allow other states to have a role in the process. So you can't just have one state with a big population outvote the rest of the country, which is what happened, which is what would have happened in the straight national popular vote. Now, I say that with the caveat that maybe that's not what, you know, the outcome of the election probably would have been different if people were campaigning based on trying to win the popular vote.
Yes.
But, you know, that's really one of the major reasons we have the Electoral College. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it forced these candidates to battle out in Pennsylvania and Ohio and Wisconsin and other places, and Trump won that battle.
Right. Well, California in and of itself is an example, clearly, of a, one-party state, and, you know, their popular votes dictating the calculus and the trajectory of the politics there in that state, which is, people are moving out of the state. And
right.
You also have a movement within the state that says, look, we've got to level out the playing field, and the best way to do that is to, set up six sub-states or six definitive states within the state of California. It's just so big that it can't possibly represent the constituency properly.
Right, and, I think the situation in California was magnified by the fact that you didn't have a Republican candidate for Senate. Because they've switched to this nonpartisan primary process, which allows two Democrats to basically duke it out for the Senate seat in the general election. So that depressed Republican voter turnout in the state. I mean, California, both under a popular vote system and under the Electoral College, would have a lot of influence. But the reason it has lost influence isn't because the system discriminates against big states. It doesn't. I mean, California has more electoral votes than anybody else. It's been the linchpin for the Republicans' electoral majorities of the 80s and the Democrats' electoral majorities since then. The reason it gets ignored is because it's no longer a competitive state.
Mm-hmm.
Non-competitive states do really get the short shrift in the campaign process under our current system because your electoral votes aren't really in play.
Well, should the electoral votes be determined by the representation? Because if a state becomes so one-sided, like in the case of California, it almost, by definition, becomes an outlier, doesn't it? I mean, they have a playoff, but...
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Now, states could decide they want to do what Maine and Nebraska do, which is allocate some of their electoral votes based on congressional district results.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't always deviate from the statewide result, but it did this year in Maine,
mm-hmm.
and it did in 2008 in Nebraska. So that's one way some of these bigger states, like California, could get more attention. They could, because there would be some districts in play for a Republican candidate under that scenario. And then obviously there are some that are trying to get their states to give the electoral votes to the national popular vote winner. But I have mm-hmm. a feeling that if you're New York, and Donald Trump wins the popular vote in 2020 and loses New York by 30 points, a lot of New York Democrats who think that's a good idea right now aren't going to think it's a good idea then.
Exactly. It always comes back to bite them. This has been a tried and true, a tested and proven formula time and again. Do you foresee any changes in the Electoral College?
There really isn't any option for the Democrats right now to abolish it or change it significantly because they don't have the votes in the state legislature. They've really taken a beating in the down ballot races. They don't control very many state legislative chambers, and you need 3/4 of the state to ratify a constitutional amendment. So the only thing they could do is push this national popular vote initiative where the states themselves would decide they want to win, they want to award the electoral votes to the national popular vote winner. That is something they could do under the current system without a constitutional amendment. But they're a ways off from even being able to do that.
Well, as expected, after all was said and done, with not a whole lot of fanfare, the 45th president of the United States of America will be and is Donald J. Trump, and he will be sworn into office on January the 20th, 2017. So onward and forward we move, right, Jim?
That's right.
Get this country back on track. James Antle III has been our guest, of course, with the Washington Examiner. Jim, thank you so much for being with us. Appreciate it. Merry Christmas to you.
Thanks,
it's a couple of minutes.
Merry Christmas.
You got it, buddy. A couple of minutes before the top of the hour. This is Bill Martinez. We're live.
Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. Loans are subject to lender approval. See website for details. Need some extra cash for Christmas presents this year? Do you have bad credit or maxed out credit cards? If you could use extra cash for Christmas, turn your radio up. 45cash.com specializes in connecting you with a lender ready to give you the cash you need for Christmas.
Now you can get a personal loan for up to $5,000 with any type of credit discreetly from your computer or smartphone and with no paperwork to send in. That's right, no paperwork whatsoever. Your cash can hit your bank account as soon as tomorrow, regardless of your credit history. Visit 45cash.com to request up to $5,000 for Christmas spending in no time. Just have a checking account and a regular source of income, and you can get the loan you need now, regardless of your credit. Go to 45cash.com from your smartphone or computer to get the cash you need. Visit 45cash.com. Type www.45cash.com directly into the address bar. That's 45cash.com. 45cash.com.
Did you know your call?